We should talk about how Tim Cook loves One Republic.
Does he?
He's been tweeting that it's his favorite band.
You're kidding.
Oh, stop it.
So, yeah. So, I'm imagining Tim Cook singing Apologize really loud in his apartment.
Oh. It's too late.
Stop it, Tim.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm joined today. I can actually see their faces. This is so great. Hey, Buster. Buster Hines is here. Hey, Buster.
How do I look?
Oh, you look so even better than I usually get to imagine you. Sexy. Alex is here, too. He's looking dapper in his new glasses. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Irfan, but we're not in the same room. I think you're giving them the wrong impression.
I wish we got to do the show together. That would be so great. My favorite shows are the ones where we're all drinking in the same room together and Leander just giggling the whole time.
Yeah.
We're doing a little experiment here. We're doing live video for ourselves, not for anyone else. We can just see each other, which is great because we normally can't. But so much of my communication style is like in my face, you know? And now I can raise my eyebrows at you guys and you guys
and
can
your shirtless chest.
I'm shirtless too. And now you guys know how I do the show. Makes me feel comfortable. We got a great show planned for you guys this week. We're going to have a lot of fun. We have a bunch of Apple stories to talk about. And at the end, we're going to do in the second part of the show, we're going to do a little segment about our favorite apps, like essential apps that we love. These could be Mac apps. These could be iOS apps. You know, just apps that we use every day and find to be really great. So we'll be talking about that second part of the show. If we have time, we'll do an all new Get to Know Your Cultist. I'm not sure. Oh. I'm looking at the schedule here. It's pretty packed. So, but before we jump into all of today's great stuff, I want to give a thanks to our sponsor, lynda.com, LYNDA.com. I want to thank them for supporting with over 2,000 high quality video courses taught by industry leading experts. Lynda.com will help you master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Try it yourself for free for 7 days. Learn all you want. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. I also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. Try it out yourself for free. Head on over to squarespace.com. You'll get a 2-week free trial. And we'll tell you how you can save 10% off your order a little bit later in the show. And also, Buster, I was telling you before we hit record, I have a brand new idea for us that we're going to talk about. Because we're going to be building a Squarespace site to make our riches. And I had an epiphany about a website we could build. So we'll talk about that because I think it's going to make us a lot of money. Oh, quick announcement, actually, before we jump into the Apple news. We're looking for an audio editor. Cultcast needs an audio editor. We have a lot of segments that we need help with. And if you are good with Logic, if you're good with some other audio editing application, email me, Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, at cultofmac.com. Make sure you put hashtag cultcast in the subject line so I can actually weed your email out. And we need help with art, too. If you're an artist, if you're a graphic designer, ping me. We are growing and we need help on segments and different things. So we would love it if we got listeners involved. And the editing job is paid. So you're not even going to be working for free like a plebeian. We'll actually pay you. So email me, airfun@cultmac.com. Okay, let's start with Samsung.
Samsung?
Sorry, did I not say that correctly? Samsung.
Yeah.
Former Apple, was he a genius?
Specialist.
Apple specialist? Does that mean he just worked at the Apple store?
Yeah, he was just one of those people that sell you the iPhones.
Okay, takes your money. This is so great. Alex, you sent this before we started. Why don't you tell us about what Mr. Samsung is trying to do?
Well, he's just selling his Apple shirt and ID. Dude, for charity.
We're going to play it down.
I mean, he has like the worst name in like the history of Apple specialists. You know?
Or the best name.
The guy's name is Samsung. He used to work as an Apple retail employee. And I don't know when he quit, but this is a brilliant idea. He's decided to sell his shirt and his Apple badge, his lanyard, on eBay. And we really want to buy it. I really do want to buy this thing.
See, but what are you going to do with this shirt?
I'm going to... He has it framed.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing looks very presentable. So I would hang this in my house for sure.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't you?
The bidding's already up to like $1,000.
Sure. Yeah. So he put it on eBay and the bidding's up to $1,000 already. How many days left? I think it has nine days left.
Well, nine. Yeah, it's a 10-day auction.
I wonder if we could coerce our cult cast listeners to help us purchase this thing.
It is for a good cause.
It's for a very good cause. Did we mention that he's giving the money to charity?
Yeah, charity. They like grant
his favorite stripper. Oh,
last wishes.
Oh, you mean like an actual charity?
Yeah,
well, that's even better than what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's giving the money to, I want to get the name of the charity right. Let's see. Do you have it there in front of you, Buster? Children's Wish, which is an area charity that grants wishes to kids, as Buster said, with life-threatening illnesses. So how great would it be to give this guy like $5,000? How could we collect money, though? That's my question. We'd have to do like an Indiegogo, I think.
I think so.
Would you not want to hang this in your house? This thing looks awesome. He's even included a business card, and he signed it, Samsung.
Apple should donate all of the settlement money it's gotten from its Samsung lawsuits to this charity.
That's not a bad idea.
Be like a few hundred million.
Yeah. They should hang this in their Infinite Loop, their new Infinite Loop building, too. You know what? Do you guys want to take bets on how much this is going to go for?
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot of press.
I'm going to say it goes for as much as 10,000.
That's what I was thinking too. Probably 10 grand.
Maybe more. Who knows? It's already up to 1,000 the first day.
If Apple PR bids on this thing, and I think they would be smart to do so, it would go up. It would probably go up to $10,000 or $15,000.
You think if somebody just threw down like $1,000 for it? Well, I think it's incremental bidding, isn't it? So it's going to take a while for it to ratchet up.
But the bidding increments get bigger as the bids get higher. So. I mean, who knows, but maybe we could figure out a way to collect donations so that we could purchase this thing for Cultcast HQ. And I'm down to throw down some money too. I mean, I'd throw some money into it. I know Alex said he'd throw at least G down, right, Alex?
Oh, at least.
Buster, you said you got like five on it. So we're
$5.
We're at 1,005 already. 1,010 with my donation. Anyway, that's on eBay Canada if you want to check it out. Let's move on to a story that I'm not sure I want to say is funny, but is definitely very entertaining / sad. I'm going to caveat / sad so people don't call me a masochist. Apparently, a dad used an iPhone to hunt down and kill a thug that stole his son's iPhone, which is not funny.
Don't mess with my iPhone.
Civilian justice.
But the vigilante justice aspect of it is kind of amusing.
He didn't kill him until he got stabbed in the eye.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. So he wasn't like using it to go murder this guy. He was using it to track down the actual iPhone.
And right. He should have involved law enforcement, though.
He probably should have called the cops because the guy stole the guy's son's iPhone, and apparently they knew the guy who had a history of violence or something, and then he took all three of his sons with him and a knife from his house and went over, like, tracked it using Find My iPhone and asked him for the iPhone back, and the dude stabbed him in the eye.
Did he go blind too?
Yeah, in one eye. He's blind in one eye.
Wow. So he has to wear an eye patch now when he goes to prison.
I mean, somebody died, but it's also kind of funny.
I mean, if you're going to go to prison, an eye patch is probably a good way to roll in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone's probably going to leave you alone if you roll in there with an eye patch. Now, he said it was self-defense, and I kind of think it's weird that he's being tried for murder, because if a guy slashes your eye out while you're trying to reclaim your stolen property, it kind of seems like you should be able to defend yourself.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I think there's some, you know, the fact that he didn't alert the police. Also, he took a knife with him knowing that it was going to be a violent situation. Why didn't you call the police?
But dude, You guys, like, have you ever had something stolen before and you contact the police and they don't do anything? Oh, they're anything. Not going
to. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be like, take a report and they're going to send you on your way. There's no way they're going to go after your iPhone.
Yeah.
Not in this area. Alex, what's up, dude?
I don't know, man. It's
You look like you're reflecting on life's purpose for you.
Yeah.
I love being able to see when you're actually spacing out.
No, I'm thinking about, I told you all about the whole Find My iPhone situation I had a couple weeks ago, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Lester, did he tell you?
I don't think so.
During, this is so embarrassing. That's probably why I didn't say it. So no one was killed, thank God, but I was playing
already.
I play Ultimate Frisbee a few times a week with a bunch of people, and I was not paying attention, and I put my phone, like, in between games, I would check my phone, and I put my phone in someone else's car, thinking it was the one that I came in. And so when they drove away, I couldn't find my phone, and then I saw it, like, on this other part of town. And I was like, oh my gosh, someone got into the car and stole my phone. So we tracked it to this poor girl's house, who's like probably never stolen anything in her life. She's like the sweetest girl ever.
And you were going to execute some vigilante
and
justice?
I bring like two cop cars and myself into her house. And we realize that it's in her car in the exact same spot that
where
I had put my
it.
Phone before.
So, and now she's no longer my girlfriend.
a much less dramatic Find My iPhone experience.
Well, I'm glad you didn't lose your eye. That's
Me
how
too.
This whole thing could have ended. Let's see what else we got on the docket here. Oh my gosh, Flappy Bird is back. You guys know that I love to flap it. And the popular game was taken off of the Apple Store and never returned, so it looked like it was going to be gone forever. But strangely, the game is back on Amazon Fire TV, and that's the only place where it seems to be available.
You know why, right?
Why? Because
Amazon paid him a ton of money.
Yeah, probably. And I know that the developer was concerned about people being addicted to the game. So this is a great solution for him because he gets paid for it, but he knows that no one's actually going to play it because it's only available on Amazon Fire TV. So this is like a major win-win for him. Can you actually use your Fire phone or an Android phone to play games on the Fire TV, or does it come with a controller? Do you guys know?
I think it has a controller.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
I've never
there's
actually
a hard, Yeah, there's a hardware controller.
Interesting. So if you are into flapping it, as I am, you might have to pick up an Amazon Fire TV.
And it'll come back to iOS eventually. I bet
you think
Amazon.
So? I'm holding my breath.
It's coming back in August or something.
Yeah, I bet Amazon just paid him to have like an exclusive window, like release window.
I don't know, man. I mean, he's been so long. Why would he all of a sudden?
He said he was bringing it back to the App Store.
Other game he wanted to release first, and then he would bring it back.
Yeah.
Okay, but he did say that he's going to ignore all those excuses he made before and just bring it back to iOS. Yeah. Weird. Okay. wonder what happened. Wonder what caused him to change his mind. Speaking of Apple or the Amazon Fire TV, it looks like the Apple TV actually got a beta update. Alex, did you write this? Or was it Buster?
Buster.
Buster, tell me about what's new in the Apple TV beta. This got a ton of reads on Cult of Mac.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah, like what?
Tons of stuff. They got a new font, Helvetica New.
What?
Helvetica New. It's sexy.
You're leading with the most interesting part, aren't you?
Yeah, it's slimmer. and there's also some new icons with new colors.
Oh,
they kind of look a little bit more like iOS 7. It's actually a very small makeover, small tweak.
So it's basically just visual?
Yeah, it's all visual.
Because I was looking at how many people retweeted this on Cult of Mac, and it was a lot. People were pretty excited about this. So I just figured that there was more to it than that, but there's not.
Well, I think that speaks to how badly Apple TV kind of needs a makeover. You know, we're hoping that, like, you know, in the future, it's not going to be just a bunch of like channel icons and stuff like that. I think it's kind of a mess to go through if you use Apple TV a lot.
As I don't really use it all that often, I'm looking forward to when they do the update. It looks like this is going to be coming out in fall, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'll pick one up then. You can get them refurbished for like $85, right? They're pretty inexpensive.
I didn't even know they sell refurbished ones.
Oh, yeah. That's like usually how I buy my Apple gear.
Yeah, well, new iOS 8 and Yosemite betas came out that same day, too.
I saw that, and I was thinking we could talk about that a little bit, but then I decided that it's always boring.
You looked at what was new, and we're like,
It's like always a new font. They made this word smaller. There's just never anything major.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, though, they're pretty close to releasing you know, the final version of it, so there's not going to be
much. This is beta 5, right, for both of them?
Yeah, right.
I installed Yosemite beta 5, and it works really well.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Are you on it right now?
Yeah, I'm on it right now.
Any major new cool things that you think are worth mentioning?
No, I mean, not like anything new.
Nothing.
It's stable, you know, like everything's, I haven't had any crashes or anything
like
that.
You're using it right now? Are you on your computer? Oh, okay, good. Well, Skype's working, so that's good.
Yeah.
Glad that's working out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really beautiful. I'm really excited to give it a whirl. You tell you what, as long as we're talking about new hardware, we should probably talk about one of the biggest stories of the week, which are Apple's plans to unveil the iPhone 6. It looks like we might have an actual date that's been leaked, but major teaser there to tease you guys. Before we do that, I want to tell you guys about our new website idea, Buster. Oh, no. I think you're going to love this. So as you guys know, Squarespace supports us. They've been supporting us for a long time. And I love Squarespace because if you need a new website, they're just about the easiest place you can go to get a website, you know, started and online and in no time at all. And they not only do they include like blogs or regular websites and beautiful image galleries, they allow you to set up an e-commerce store and it's included with your Squarespace subscription. And you could get the store up and running in no time. So Buster and I have been talking about how we could monetize, you know, our immense fame between the two of us. And as you all probably know, Buster's incredibly sexy. He's got a beautiful beard and he's a real man's man. And I thought, what can we get Buster to do that can increase my revenue? I pondered on this and I came up with this idea. Buster's Bathing Suits.com. They're skimpy bathing suits for the modern tough guy. Okay, so bear with me, Buster. So it's going to be skimpy bathing suits, but there's a tough element to them. Like, we'll put patterns on them, like maybe, I don't know, like battle axes.
Jungle prints.
Jungle prints are going to be popular, I think. Pelts are always a good option. Alex, you feel free to make some suggestions here. Maybe,
If we're going to do like if I could have like one like line in the whole catalog, it would be like pinstripe, like a pinstripe blazer with like really short shorts and the blazer, the blazer's like kind of opaque. It's like kind of see-through.
I like where you're going with this. I like where your head's at. This is like the Miami Vice type bathing suit. So like you could be in Miami, exactly. Dressed nice, but you're also ready to party in the pool.
You could be in burn notice and no one would even know.
We'll get you some loafers and no socks. This is going to tell me this is not going to make us millions.
Oh yeah, as long as they're tight enough to see like the whole package. Sure. That's I think will be critical.
That's a key ingredient. Well, the nice thing is we're going to have Buster model all these, obviously.
Okay.
Because, I mean, when you see something on him, it just sells itself. It doesn't matter what the article of clothing is. So Squarespace makes it really easy to set up really beautiful image galleries. So we're going to have lots of really, really HD images. We're going to get some coupon codes set up for our CultCast listeners because that's really easy to do on your CultCast store. And I think one of my favorite things is when we're starting to make our millions, Squarespace doesn't actually take a cut of your sales as some other websites do. You just pay your regular subscription fee and they don't take a cut of any of your sales. All the money goes directly to you and, you know, a small sliver for Buster for doing the modeling and Alex for his brilliant consulting on the pinstripe blazer part. Check out Squarespace. If you need a website to showcase your work, if you want to set up a e-commerce store, if you want to start a blog, There's so many great website options on Squarespace. All the designs are all available for you to choose from. They're completely scalable, so your site's going to look great on a Mac, on an iPhone, on an iPad. Squarespace handles all that stuff for you. Plus, they have excellent customer support. If you get stuck doing something, they're always there 24/7 to help you. Check them out, squarespace.com, and use the code CULTCAST at checkout. And you'll save 10% off your order. By the way, you get a two-week free trial. You don't even need to give them your credit card number. Just try it out, squarespace.com. I think this is arguably better than my last idea.
Oh, way better.
Buster's Beard. What did I call it? I can't remember.
Oh, God. Bearded Beauties. Beardedbeauties.com.
I have a feeling that domain's already taken. I think, Alex, I think you should check. let's talk about iPhone 6. It looks like we have an actual announcement date of September 9th. Buster, you wrote the story on this. It looks like this was announced by Recode, which, you know, kind of makes it so that it's actually
pretty much official. Yeah.
And then it was confirmed by both the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg.
Yeah.
So all by a person familiar with the matter.
Yeah, well, maybe they all know the same person.
Hey, y'all. right when all those reports came out, Tim Cook like started tweeting about something completely different, as if to throw us off.
Such a strategist he is. And there's probably some One Direction going in the background, I have a feeling.
One Republic.
One Republic. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, he's going, it's too late.
Wow, he has a beautiful falsetto.
I
wouldn't have imagined him, you know, going that high. I thought he was more of like an alto or like a bass or something.
Yeah.
So this could be our date, September 9th, if all these major publications are confirming it. Are you guys thinking that we can expect a new iPhone then?
It's in my calendar.
Solid.
Is it? You put it on your calendar, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
So it's official.
Yeah.
Man, this is so exciting. That's only a month away.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there were all these reports that there was production issues and stuff like that, but it seems like everything's fine.
Well, we're still hearing reports like that.
Yeah.
Every phone has had production problems. You remember how hard it was to get a gold 5S?
Yeah.
Was it hard?
Yeah, it was like impossible for like 2 months.
Well, you don't have a gold phone, do you, Buster?
No.
I don't either. But
you're just letting us know what your friends are telling you.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, they might announce it and then say it ships in like a month or something like that.
I don't think they would. It would ship any less than 2 or 3 weeks after they announce it. But I mean, maybe some units, like you're saying, will be
like the bigger one, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, if the big one's not available when they announce it, I'm going to be kind of bummed out.
I'm going to be super bummed out if they just release a 4-inch. I'm not going to be happy.
The size is perfect right now.
Speak for yourself, dude.
Yeah. I could always go bigger.
I could always go bigger.
Oh, dude. That's a myth.
No. It most certainly is
it's
not.
It's a need, Alex.
It's a personal preference. Don't judge me. So keep your eyes locked on September 9th. That's the day I'll probably be spending $1,000 for a new iPhone. I'm going to get one off contract. But actually, let me raise this because maybe we won't be spending as much as we initially thought. So in a article in Laptop Magazine, I didn't realize this was a publication, but of course it is, Laptop Magazine. For guys who are really into laptops, so much so that they want a magazine devoted to them. Their editor, Mark Spoonauer, wrote an article called Why 16-gigabyte iPhones Are the Biggest Ripoff in Tech. And he went on to postulate that we may have seen the last 16-gigabyte iPhone model released. So the next set, the iPhone 6 and beyond, will start at 32 gigabytes. And he uses this logic. You guys tell me what you think. He said that 32 gigabytes of flash storage only costs Apple about $16. So it costs them next to nothing. And all the major phones that have been released recently, like the HTC One M8, the LG G3, the Amazon Fire Phone, have all started with 32 gigabytes, and then you can buy more from there. So because the price is so cheap and because Apple is facing so much competition, he's saying, and also because the operating system is getting larger, the apps are taking up more space, that this is going to be the first time we see a $199 iPhone with 32 gigabytes of storage. Buster, yay or nay?
I want to say yay because I think it's been since the iPhone 4 that we've been stuck on 16 gigs.
Yeah.
As the base, it's just impossible to manage all your, you know, music, videos and stuff like that. And, you know, I think the bigger ripoff, though, is like the 64 gigabyte iPhones, which are, you know, astronomically expensive. And it only costs Apple like 10, 20 bucks more for like those extra gigs of space, you know.
Yeah, it's gravy train for them. Every one of those upgrades you make. Alex, what about you? What do you think?
Nah.
You think no? We're in the age of Vine. We all need more space. We just had the Instagram prince himself on. Although he uses a 16 gigabyte iPhone. But we have so much stuff going into our iPhones. And you know iOS.
No, dude.
The next version of iOS is going to be even bigger. And the version after that is going to be even bigger. Like these operating systems keep taking up more and more space. 16 gigabytes is nothing.
Oh, like every time a new beta comes out, it takes like 3 gigs of space, available storage to download it. So I have to like delete half of my apps and photos and stuff like that to get it on there. What I want is a 128 gigabyte iPhone Air. That would be the money.
That would be pretty awesome. Dude, and that would only be a couple $100 more.
If 16 gigs is good enough for the Instagram prince, Apple's not going to change it.
You think that they're using him as their litmus?
Yes.
They're like, this is the Instagram prince. This guy only needs 16. Let's pocket that extra $16 it cost us to put 32 gigas in here. Well, I'm a yay. I think this is going to happen. I think I've said this before, though. This is obviously just a total guess. But I think that Mark Spoonhour's logic makes sense. At least it does to me. Apple is facing stiff competition from Android. And a lot of popular Android phones.
No, they're not.
I think they are.
They are not. Have you seen Samsung's sales?
Yeah.
Have you seen their charts? Samsung's are like, you can actually see me now. So they're literally this.
But I think that Apple has a perceptional issue. And I mean, I agree that iPhones are much, much better than Android phones. I'm a total fanboy, admittedly. But I believe so for good reason. And there's so many Android phones out there, and they are, from a hardware perspective, more powerful than the iPhone. I think that people's perception is that you just get more when you buy an Android phone. And it seems like Apple's starting to actually pay attention to that kind of stuff. So maybe this will be it. Maybe we'll actually get a 32 gigabyte this round. So we're on record. Buster's a yay. I'm a yay.
Alex is a nay. So we can stone him when it happens.
I will fly to Kentucky and throw rocks at you, Alex. Hopefully you'll still be in California so I don't have to book such a long flight. Okay, let's talk about our favorite apps, our favorite essential apps. I hope you guys have some good picks. So I was thinking we could just kind of go round table and each just talk a little bit about an app that we really love and why. It could be an iOS app. It can be a Mac app. I'm happy to do this segment because people have been asking us. People ask us this all the time. What apps do you use? What apps do you use and why? So I'm interested to hear what you guys are going to say.
How many are we talking about?
I was thinking we'd do three each.
Three each?
Ooh, only three?
Yeah, how many do you
on
have?
On each or just a total?
Three each, so 9 total.
No, I mean like 3 for Mac, 3 for iOS.
No. 3 total. So you can choose a combination of 2 iOS and 1 Mac, 2 Mac and 1 iOS. I'll leave that to you. Does anyone want to start?
No.
Alex?
I guess I can start.
Dude, go for it. We're not voting, so.
Okay. Yes, I won't lose. Cool.
No promises. we should have an impromptu vote at the end.
I really like this app for traveling that I actually use today called Flight Track. And it's really cool for tracking your flights. Mm-hmm. And you put in your itinerary and it will like send you all these notifications like during the travel process. So like if a gate's changed, it'll tell, like I used it to get to Russia and it would alert me about gate changes and like delays before the airport did.
Mm-hmm.
So like you don't ever have to worry about like looking at all the big monitors or anything like that in the airport. And it's got a nice interface where you can kind of map out how long everything's going to take. And then it shows you all the details about the plane that you're going to be on, like if it has Wi-Fi, what the seat chart is.
Booyah.
All of that stuff. It's kind of pricey for an app and in iOS sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's like $3.99 or $4.99. But if you fly a lot, or even I don't fly that much, but for as much as I fly, it's still worth it. Just to be on top of like scheduling stuff, like where to go, what gate to go to, and all that. It's a really nice flight track in the App Store.
Okay, iOS app. Mm-hmm. By the way, okay, Buster, you want to go next?
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, this sounds like a dumb app, but it's called Cliff Height Timer. And if you follow me on Instagram, summertime, it's like my time when I go to all the waterfalls and jump off them. And usually, like,
it's a very niche app.
Yeah, it's a very niche app, but it's a perfect summertime app because it's like we're always debating how high is this cliff, and this app will calculate it for you.
And how high do I need to be in order to be brave enough to jump off of it?
Yeah, exactly. So like your friend, like, you know, they just drop from the top, you hit a timer, and then once they hit the water, you stop it, and it'll tell you exactly how far they fell.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Like, it sounds dumb, but it's like something I've been using for like the past few weeks.
Because you jump off a lot of cliffs?
I guess so, yeah. At least one a week, you got to. That's how you know you're alive.
And how much is this?
It's totally free.
Oh, it's free. Booyah. Yeah. And this is iOS, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I think most of mine actually, most of mine are Mac apps. Phone's ringing. My first one is going to be one that I have talked about before. It's called Hippo Light. I have a media PC in my house that I built. And one of the great things about Hippo is it lets you log into your computer from your iPhone. So I can turn my computer on because it's on the network with Hippo Lite. And then I can use my phone as a mouse pad and then also as a keyboard. So I can use it to, like, you know, visit websites, type something. I usually just use it to turn my computer on and then use it to log into my actual computer, because that way I can do it from another room. I don't have to be in front of my computer. And since I'm going to be talking about another media app a little bit later called, well, I won't mention it yet, that does video, it helps me kind of manage my PC that I have in another room. And Hippo Lite is free. They have a pro version, but I've never really needed the pro feature, so I haven't purchased it. And that's one of the ones I use pretty much every day. Hmm. Who wants to go next? Buster? Actually, let's just do the same order. Alex.
Brown. Okay. So a new photo app I really like. Well, it's not that new, but I just started using it. It's called Tada SLR.
Can you say that right, please?
Ta-da! But it's ta-da with two A's at the end. So it's like really ta-da. It's like ta-da.
Okay.
It gives you like a depth of field on the iPhone effect, like that effect that you wouldn't normally get, like that you would get with a DSLR. But it's like if you're taking a portrait and you want to blur the background out, it basically lets you do really easy, and it's really smart at like defining edges, masking, to create like blur or like a, you know, depth of field or any other effect like that. So it's a neat little app for like masking and getting a DSLR effect on your photos. And it's pretty cheap. I don't remember the price, but the Tada people make like a whole suite of photo apps, and all of their apps are pretty good. But this is one that I've used recently, and I really like it.
It actually sounds cool. Yeah, I'm going to download that. And you said, oh, you didn't know how much it cost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a couple bucks. And like, if you look at my Twitter, my like new profile picture on social media, use Tada SLR to create that blur in the background to give it the depth of field. Cause it's an iPhone shot, but, it can do some cool stuff with the right shots.
That's pretty handy. Come iOS 8, we'll actually be able to control the aperture, but, I mean, still, because the camera,
but even with that,
is so small, you're not going to have a great depth of field, I don't think.
Right.
Okay, cool. Buster.
I've mentioned this one before, but I use it almost every day at Cult of Mac. It's called GIF Brewery, and it's how I create.
Last show, I think.
I knew you would pick this one.
Yeah. All right, it's how I create all my gifts for Cult of Mech. And it like makes it super easy to do everything. You know, you just drop in a file and it has a couple of different gift properties that you can change things up to make, you know, the size smaller, reduce colors, improve like the animation and stuff like that. But it's like super simple, easy to use. If you ever want to like make gifts, it's just as easy as like you download a video off the internet and then throw it into Gift Brewery to make up a quick gift for anybody.
I actually want to download this. I love making gifts. How much is this?
I don't know how much it costs. I forget.
I think I checked it out when you mentioned it last show. I think like it was like 15. $6.
Oh,
was
is it?
Yeah, no, I think you might be right. It was not as cheap as I would have expected.
Well, let me see.
Okay, cool. For my second pick, I'm going to go with an application called Plex. So this is related to my last pick in that this helps me with my media PC. Plex is awesome. I recently started using it, and what it allows you to do is stream anything, like any video or TV shows from one computer, which you download this application called Plex Server, to any other platform. So it could be your Mac, it could be your iPhone, it could be your iPad. And the really cool thing is it organizes your entire library for you. It pulls in trailers. It does all the metadata for you. And then when you're ready to watch, it will actually encode the video that you want to watch on the fly so it's appropriate for the device that you're watching on. So I can watch movies on my Mac, stream from my Plex server, which is a PC, or I can watch videos from my iOS device on the network, or even when I'm out and about, and the computer will upload everything, encode everything on the fly, and it works seamlessly. And best of all, it's totally free. I could not believe that it was free. There are some pro services that they charge for, like the network streaming. So if you want to stream when you're you know, out and about and not at your house, that you have to upgrade for that. And the iOS app does cost, I think, $5, but really well designed. And eminently useful if you like watching videos and you have a big media collection like I do with a bunch of stuff sitting on one computer. It's also great if you just want to watch something in another room. If someone's watching something on your TV, you can stream stuff to your Mac. So it's called Plex. You'll nude. Whoa.
You'll get nude.
You'll get totally nude. That's the first step, is you need to get totally nude. Download Plex Server onto whatever is holding your media, and then you'll need a client on your Mac or on your iOS device. Plex is my second pick. I think we're on third round. Is that right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect timing to take a quick break. And since we're talking about videos, I do want to thank Lynda.com for supporting this episode. Man, I love Lynda. .com. That's LYNDA.com. And I was actually just talking to one of their instructors. I'm doing their Logic Pro X course right now. And if you've heard me talk about that before, I recently switched from editing this show in GarageBand to editing in Logic Pro X. And I actually got to talk to their instructor who gives that course. His name is Scott Hirsch. I'll be playing that segment in an upcoming show. Really awesome guy. He is a professional audio editor. He's done movies. He's done music. He's a musician. He knows Logic Pro X inside and out. And he also knows other editing apps like Pro Tools and some of the other ones that you use to create like actual musical effects. This guy is a serious pro. And it was a pleasure talking to him. And as I was sitting there speaking with him, I was thinking to myself, these are the kinds of caliber professors that you learn from on Lynda.com. These people are working professionals. They know their topics inside and out. They know every nuance of the application that you're trying to learn. But aside from that, this guy knows music. He knows audio editing at large. He teaches at a school in New York. He has real world experience. And so he teaches you stuff beyond just learning the application. He talks about workflows and shortcuts and other applications you should be using. And not only does Lynda.com have great tutorials on how to learn different applications, you can learn entire topics. So if you're looking to further yourself in your career, maybe you want to learn JavaScript and HTML5 so you could be a front-end developer, you could do that, and within 3 or 4 months of hard work, you will be able to actually get a new job and be making more than you were before. So Lynda doesn't just help with learning applications. They help with professional development as well. In fact, they're pretty prevalent in the business world. Businesses use Lynda.com to help their employees learn different applications, different topics. And I'm, as a huge advocate of continual learning, I just think it's really super fun to kick back, put on a Lynda.com playlist. They'll walk you through all these different courses, and it's effortless. You just learn on your own time, at your own pace, and in no time, you'll be smarter than you were, which should be all of our goals, except for Alex's. I know he's not big on that. Alex, you still there?
I'm already as smart as I can be.
He peaked. He peaked in middle school, guys. So for Alex, this isn't the best product. But for all you other people out there, check it out. Head on over to lynda.com, lynda.com/cultcast. You'll get a 7-day free trial. Learn all you want for free. You can visit any of Scott's courses. Just search for Scott Hirsch, H-I-R-S-C-H, and all his logic courses and audio courses are there. Try it out yourself for free. And learn all you want. I want to thank Lynda for supporting this episode. That's lynda.com/cultcast. I love lynda.com. I got some smiles and some head shakes. It's so much better when I can see how much my joke offended you, Buster, rather than just hearing silence. Okay, let's do our last round of application picks. And then I thought we could wrap up with an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. I chose this question myself, actually, so I'm interested to hear what your guys' answers are. So, Alex, what's your third and final pick for app?
Okay, my final pick is an iPhone budgeting app called Level.
Level. And I haven't heard of it.
It's the coolest one I've seen. It's totally free, and you put in your, like, it can handle a bunch of banks and credit cards, and it ties directly into them, so it automatically imports all of your spending. And so it's really simple. It does how much you make each month subtracted by all of your bills that you enter into the app, mm-hmm. your monthly bills, and then that's your spendable. And so it's a really clean interface, really well designed, and you can see all of your accounts at once.
Is it free? And, or does it cost money?
Yep. Yeah, it's free.
And let me ask you this. I mean, I use Mint all the time. I'm sure a lot of our listeners should probably check that out. Do you know the differences between this and Mint? Like, what makes it better?
Mint, well, is cross-platform, mm-hmm. so Mint's available in more places. And I think Level has plans to. I think they're on Android, and they're going to come to the Mac eventually. But I think Level's better designed, and I've had problems with Mint, like keeping my accounts logged in and stuff like that. I've had a lot of problems with them, and Level seems to be more stable. Like
will Level pull your bank stuff in without you entering it all in manually? Because that's like the big thing about Mint.
Right. No, yeah. It's just like Mint in that way, except it's a little simpler than Mint. It's a little cleaner. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but what it does, I think it does a lot better. So if you don't need like everything in Mint, and you're like sick of Mint, or like you're sick of like the suggested tips they always give you to try to like set up an account somewhere, Level doesn't have any of that.
So they don't advertise to you like Mint does?
No.
That would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing credit card ads.
Yeah.
Bustier.
All right. This isn't like a cool app or like less known app, but as like a big audio advocate for years, I've finally kind of converted over to Beats Music, man.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Spotify.
No.
Really? Beats is what made you leave audio? You've been on that kick forever. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I still have my audio subscription, but I did sign up for a Beats subscription like after trying
it for a while.
And I really do like it. You know, they got like the playlist is probably the best feature of it. Like the human curation aspect of it.
But have you used that same feature in Spotify though?
No, do they do like?
Yeah, they've been doing it better recently. Incredible, incredible curated playlists. So I was just wondering if you're a big fan of curated playlists, or if you like Beats curated playlists.
No. Well, I do like the Beats ones, but I also do like the Beats interface. And for listening to like random music, I choose Beats. But when I want to listen to something like I know, like I pull up RDO.
I was thinking of the most sophisticated man in the world there. Like, you're like, I don't always listen to music, but when I do, I listen to Beats.
But there's no Mac app, Buster.
There is no Mac app, so that is a pain. So I do use RDO on the Mac still.
See, I can't do that. When there's a Mac app, I'll consider it.
They're going to have to release a Mac app. I mean,
they're owned by Apple. Owns it.
Yeah. That's got to be incoming any day now. So you like the playlist feature. Is there anything else about it that you really love?
Playlists.
Okay, cool.
Playlists.
All right, fair enough. Dr. Dre. I haven't checked out Beats yet, but I might have to check it out. Is there a free version or is it paid only stuff?
Yeah, you can try it out for 2 weeks.
Okay. Alex.
He already went.
Oh, what? That's right. You already went. It's my final
Come
pick.
Come on, man.
I can't count to 9. Okay, my final pick, Alex, I'm going to get some help from you on this, is an application for your Mac. It's called iStat Menus.
Oh, nice. I'm glad I didn't pick that one because it was on my long list, but I cut it.
I love iStat Menus. I've been using it for years, ever since version 3. And I was just reading your post, Alex, about version 5.
Uh-huh.
And iStat Menus is a set of icons that live in your top menu bar. And you can set all these different parameters to keep track of. So for me, I have it monitoring my CPU usage, my CPU temperatures, my fan speeds, and my network bandwidth. So I can tell how much bandwidth is coming in and out of my computer. There's a whole zillion amount of things that you can track in iStat Menus. And it's kind of like one of those really geeky power user tools. But anytime I post screenshots of my Mac's interface, people always ask me what those little icons are in my menu bar. It's iStat Menus. And if you're a nerd, if you like to keep track of what's going on with your computer, how much RAM you're using,
battery charge cycles you've had.
Yeah, I mean, you would not believe how granular this app lets you get. And plus, it's really beautiful. It's very, very well designed. And
Version 5 is really nice. I'm using it right now in Yosemite.
So what are the differences? Because I'm using version 4. What's the difference between, or the main differences between 4 and 5, Alex?
Yosemite support, you can theme it a little more. They've got a few more. They've built kind of some of the best features from the new activity center or whatever it's called in OS X, where you can see what apps are using the most energy. And they've kind of put that right into the menu bar. So under the CPU, you can see what apps are running the most and then kill them right there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few other smaller settings. And it's mostly just a new fresh design and Yosemite ready. So
is that in beta or is that fully
released? No, it's out.
Okay. That's fully out. And my favorite part, iStat Menus, at least I don't know how much it is now. It was $16. Is that still the same price, Alex? Do you know?
Yeah. It's a $10 upgrade if you're on version 3 or 4.
Totally, totally worth it. In my opinion, fantastic app. It's like, you guys have heard me talk about Text Expander. It's one of those apps that I install as soon as I set up a new computer. It's the first thing I do is go through and reinstall all those apps that you use every day. iStat Menus is at the top of my list. It made it onto your long list, Alex? Really?
Yeah.
You haven't been using it in a long time, have you?
Well, just because the new version just came out.
Oh, okay. So there you have it. This was awesome. We should definitely do this again because I love hearing about new apps and I like hearing about what you guys are currently using. So hopefully you guys have learned a couple things about some apps that we love. We'll put these on our Facebook page, facebook.com/theCultCast, so you can reference them later. Let's go ahead and wrap up with a segment that I love doing. This is Get to Know Your Cultist, where we ask a question and then we answer it. It's usually about ourselves. It's somewhat narcissistic.
It's always about ourselves.
It's Leander's most hated segment, but he's not here. He's traversing the wilderness, probably lost in Yosemite with his family. So this question, what is one movie, Alex and Buster, that you find yourself watching over and over and over and over? Who wants to go first?
Oh, man.
I'll go first. I'll give you guys a second to think. Okay. Since I knew what the question was going to be. So this is a really tough pick. I love watching movies over and over again because if you're working from home, you want to have a movie going on in the background that you can continue working to and not have to pay attention to, but you love. And one that I keep coming back to, especially lately, is called Weird Science. Do you guys know it?
No.
You've never seen Weird Science? Oh, no, my man. Gosh.
This is Wyatt and Gary.
I give her Womdigious mammary glands.
Something's about to change their world. Something out of this world.
She's alive! Alive!
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
It's one of John Hughes' best movies, and it's one of Bill Paxton's best acting roles that he's ever done. He plays like the hyper-aggressive older brother, Chet. And he's constantly patronizing his younger brother. And basically the premise of the story is these two guys are at this high school. They're kind of nerdy. And they kind of have these two other guys who always pick on them. One of them is played by a very young, very hip Robert Downey Jr. And to get cool, they end up creating this woman on a computer system.
You know, it's not a bad idea.
What?
Making a girl. Actually making a girl.
And like this experiment goes awry and actually creates like a real woman who has all these crazy superpowers. Hilarity ensues, hijinks ensues, and it has Anthony Michael Hall, you know, that actor from the 80s who was in like Pretty in Pink and all those great John Hughes movies. Super duper funny. It's about 90 minutes. And I watch it as often as I can because it reminds me of being a kid. And I love Bill Paxton. I love Bill Paxton. And that is definitely one of my favorite roles that he's had. Weird Science is my pick. Who wants to go next?
You stewed, buttwad.
All right, go.
Okay. The movie that I've definitely watched probably more than any other movie and still will is Tropic Thunder.
Another Robert Downey Jr. movie. Wow.
Yeah. Tropic Thunder is just like, it's Anchorman level quotable. So funny. It's like, it's
all-star
a great
cast.
It's a great movie for like when you're hanging out with the guys, you know, and you just want to put a movie in and laugh.
Sit back in your rope. Can I make a confession to you, Alex?
Yeah.
The first time I saw that movie, I thought it was so bad, I actually got depressed that I had watched it.
Will there be you anything else?
Oh, yes, my dear man. More beans.
Yeah.
What?
True story. But hold on.
Dude, Tom Cruise?
I watched it again, and I watched it again because I was so confused. Everyone thought it was so good, and I thought it was awful. And it eventually grew on me, and now I love it too.
Oh my gosh.
Matthew McConaughey in it. Oh. He's great.
Tuggernuts. Tuggernuts.
Yeah. Hey, they hook up the TiVo yet? Good gosh.
What?
The TiVo. They hook it up?
No. The guy didn't come.
What? For fuck's sake, that is unacceptable.
They have digital cable, but I mean, it's okay.
No. Come on, man. It's not okay. It is not okay, Tug.
You don't have to tell me why you need TiVo or food or running water.
That movie really was great. Jack
it has
Black
so
and it was
many good, just like quotable moments. Just like
me, I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
What?
You dudes don't know what dude he is.
I think like, what's funny about that movie too, especially that role, is one of Robert Downey Jr.'s most incredible roles. I mean, he's playing a dude playing another dude.
I don't read the script. The script reads me.
All right, Buster. I have a feeling yours is going to be somewhat esoteric.
No, it's not at be all. A Coen I feel like it's movie. Not cool because it's pretty much like same as Alex. I would probably throw on like Pineapple Express if I had to throw on like anything.
I haven't seen that one.
Monkey's out of the bottle, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's not even an expression.
Pandora doesn't go back in the box. He only comes out.
You've never seen Pineapple Express?
No.
Oh, you would love it.
I kind of sound like Seth Rogen, so maybe I would really enjoy it.
What do you mean the battery's dead?
How can I explain this to you differently? The battery is dead.
Yeah, that one's pretty hilarious.
What's the premise of that movie? I know it has Seth Rogen.
The premise of it is like James Franco is a drug dealer and he has a batch of Pineapple Express. And he
what is
sells
Pineapple
it
Express? Is that
it's
like
marijuana?
Yes.
Just got a shipment of the dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wink, it's wink. Like And right. then Seth Rogen like witnesses a murder, and it all gets traced back to him via the Pineapple Express. And uh-huh. So it's like Seth Rogen and James Franco and the dude from Eastbound and Down. What's his name again?
I love him.
He's in it.
What's his name?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. He was also in This Is the End.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's in Tropic Thunder.
Mother Nature just pissed her pants suit.
He was in Tropic Thunder. That's right.
Yeah.
That guy is hilarious.
Mother Nature just pissed her pants suit.
Apparently, Alex has all the movie lines memorized.
I told you, I've seen that movie literally 20 times.
He's our soundboard. Aren't they creating a Pineapple Express too? I heard that they were making it.
I think that was a joke in the... This Is the End movie. They talk about like how they could make a sequel for it and stuff.
I think
it was one of their like Seth Rogen's underrated movies, personally.
Man, he's definitely I don't want to say up and coming because he's certainly famous, but his movies that he's creating keep getting better and better.
Yeah,
very surprisingly, because when I saw This Is the End, like the preview for it, I was like, this movie is going to be terrible.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and it was hilarious.
It was like the only other movie that surprised me that much was, did you guys ever see Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny with Jack Black and Kyle Gass? I was like, this movie is going to be awful. And I got goosebumps from watching it. It was so good. When they did that first scene, when they're in the bar playing.
Come one, two, three.
Uh-huh. And he sang that like that song, was it like the best song in the world? Like,
yeah, the title.
I was like, these guys are incredible. And then there's all those amazing cameos in it. That's what makes one of those really bad movies shine. Okay, cool. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there, shall we, guys?
Oh yeah.
I really enjoyed seeing your faces for a full hour. We should definitely do this again. Alex. Raising his eyebrows rapidly at me. Tell you what, tell us what your favorite movie is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/cultcast. You can always come hang out with us on Twitter if you want. Let us know what your favorite movie picks are. I'm at Airfon Busters BST3R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. And of course, for all the best news and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys. Who wants to do it? Alex. You want to do it, Alex? When are we gonna see him?
Next time.
Oh, was that a
Batman one?
That sounded like Batman. Yeah.
Rachel. Where are the drugs?
Dang. You sound like you really wanted those drugs. Hi-o, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can see you too.
Yeah, turn your video on, dude. This is the new Cultcast. Let's do it with a video from now on. I had a video Skype chat yesterday, and I thought, why the hell don't we do this?
We're not recording video, are we?
No, just the audio.
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
What are you doing there?
Just sitting here with no pants on, but you can't tell.
Plaid shirt, no pants. I like that combo.
It's only buttoned to like right an inch below the video, too.
Like that.